very carefully to this reading. That's the reason why I've asked you to be seated instead of remain standing out of respect for the Word of God. And under normal circumstances, we do stand for out of respect for the Word of God. But I think it's a little bit more respectful if you hear the Word of God. And I realize I've had you standing a while, and I know some of you, your feet and legs are saying, please hurry up, please hurry up, please hurry up, oh, please hurry up, and you're not hearing what I'm saying. And so I would rather you listen to the Word of God and hear what is said here. And we're going to expound off of this morning by the help of God. I want to talk to you this morning about of this passage of Scripture and use it as a launching pad. But he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. What Paul is saying here in this writing is, if you will, leave this up for just a few moments, Sister Sherry. What he is saying here is, beware that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to what is politically correct in our hour, according to human tradition. What is human tradition? Well, we know we don't use human tradition, those kind of terms anymore. What we call it today is political correctness. And so what he is saying here is, don't be taken captive. Don't be made prisoner of the empty deceit, because people are being deceived. They're being deceived by political correctness. And the spirits of this world, the elements of this world, are dictating political correctness. It's not the Word of God that's politically that is dictating political correctness, but it is the empty deceit of this world that we live in. And you've got to remember something, that it's not just the minds of men that are coming up with this stuff. It's not just the hearts of men that are coming up with this deceitfulness. The heart is deceitfully wicked, the Bible says. So it really doesn't need a lot of help. But you've got to remember that it's not just the deceitful hearts of men and women that are coming up with this, but there are spirits in this world that are anti-Christ. They're against Christ. And it runs totally contrary to the Word of God. And it's not according to Christ. That's what he is saying here. And be careful, be aware that this is what's going on. Now the problem is this. We have a lot of people sitting here today. Matter of fact, there's some of you I don't know, but I get the sense that most of you have been around church for most of your life, if not all of your life. And you are not listening to what this preacher is saying and what the Word of God is saying right now, because you are saying within yourself, this isn't going to happen to me. This is exactly what Paul's telling you to beware of. This is going to happen to you, Paul said. Be aware. If you don't pay attention to where you're at and what's going on, you are going to be in trouble. There's a term that has also lost relevance today, but it is one that has been used in my lifetime, and it's debt of reckoning. And we really, you know, there's a lot of things that if you study ancient shipping terms and how things that, you know, where a lot of things come from, what it is dead a reckoning. It's a purpose for navigation. And the purpose of this is the concept of a fixed position, and that is your data reckoning. In other words, it does not change. You have got to have a fixed point of reference. Now, in shipping, in sailing, you have to have a fixed point of reference behind, and you have to have a fixed point of reference to where you're going, and get a line that you know you're wanting to get from that dock that you can still see. That's going to be your fixed point of reference behind. And then you've got to have a fixed point of reference before. They would use like the stars, but when you go back far enough, they would never get too far away from the shoreline so that they could tell. But you have to have the celestial. You would have a fixed point, the North Star or whatever, that you would go by. And then they come up with the compass, and we ended up with a compass to give us direction. And you learned how to read that compass, and something that very few people can do. They can read true north on a compass, but beyond that, they don't really understand all the other stuff. But at this time, back when you were sailing, it was imperative that you knew how to read a compass and that you had your fixed point of references. You had to have one going forward, and you had to have one going back. Now, the best way to do it is you would have three points of reference minimum, and that way so that if you lost one, you would still have others. But they would have what you would end up with on a map. You would get these fixed points of reference, and the more fixed points of reference that you had, the safer you were in traveling. And so it was vital that you have these fixed points. If you didn't, you would end up lost at sea. You would end up just anywhere, and you would have to know how fast you were traveling. It wasn't enough just to know that you had your where you came from and a true north of where you're going and these fixed points, but you also had to know how quickly you were traveling. You would have to know, is there a cross current that is now coming in? And so these were all points of references, and the more points of references that you have, the safer and the truer you will stay on course. And this morning is what I would like to draw the analogy from of raising your child. The more fixed points of references that child has, that Colt has, that George has in his life, the more fixed points of references, things that will not move, they will remain the same in his life, that if he is to veer off course because he gets into some rough waters in his life, he can always look back at port, he can always look at starboard, he can always look back, and he knows, well, that is the dock, that's where I started out from, and I've got these marked on my map because my mom and dad, my grandparents, and this is a reason why I said it's so important. The more family members that we have in his life that are fixed points of references, you understand what I'm saying here. This, it is so vital. We live in a day and age that parents and even grandparents are moving, and when you move, you have moved a fixed point of reference in your child's life. It's not just your life that you are affecting, but you are affecting your child. Amen. How many of you today that you can say without a shadow of a doubt, I can stand here this morning as your pastor, and I can tell you that I've got fixed points of references that my dad, that my grandfather, that my mother, that my grandmother on my mom's side, and so I can go, and I've got so many fixed points of references to let me know this is where it is. And when I get to moving in the waters of life and the ocean of life, amen, no matter how bad it gets, I've got so many fixed points that are not going to move. Amen. Some of them they cannot move because they're gone. Amen. But I've got these, and the more fixed points that you have, the truer your life is going to run, and the better your life is going to run. You even can have some fixed points in your life of area that you know that if you end up there, it's going to tear the ship up. It's going to destroy the ship. But the child needs to understand that you stay away from this. You see why you stay away from this? You are not protecting your child whenever you protect them from the bad lives of people and the things. I'm not talking about gossip, but they need to understand that this is what happens when you start messing with drugs. This is what happens when you start having illicit relationships outside of marriage. This is where it ends up at. This is what takes place. Amen. They've got to have some fixed point of reference. They've got to see that this is where it's at and what is going on. In a wealthy suburb in Indianapolis, I was reading a story of this area in Indianapolis, a very affluent area. A group of high school students were asked the question, Was Adolf Hitler wrong in murdering millions of Jews? They said yes. The interviewer, the person that asked, then asked why. Why was Hitler wrong? The general consensus of this group was, well, you see, Hitler was defeated by the Allied troops. And in war, like everything else, the victor gets to decide and define reality. The Allies determined that what Hitler had done was wrong. Therefore, he was wrong. Now, what they said, the first part is extremely true, and you've got to remember this. To the victor goes the spoils. To the victor, they get to decide. Why do we care about abortion in politics? Why does it matter? Because to the victor goes the spoils. Why do we care about laws out there? It's not affecting me. I'm not going to have an abortion. Why do we care about the laws of same-sex marriage? Why do we care about transgenderism? Why do these things matter to us? How come you harp on these things? How come you deal with these? How come, yes, we know what the Bible says, but why do we have to deal with this? Why don't we just let politics be politics and the church stay out of it? Because, for this very fact, to the victor goes the spoils. We have thousands upon thousands of children murdered, sacrificed. Do you know the satanic cult says that that those are sacrifices to the devil, that they use that as sacrifices to the devil, that all these children that are aborted, that it's just satanic sacrifice, and that's the reason why we're winning. That's the reason why we're getting ahead. And it looks like they are getting ahead. It looks like they are winning to the human eye. You've got to remember that there is a spirit world. But to these young people, you see, this is the world they've been raised in that we were just talking about. This is what they've been taught in school. What makes it right? Well, what makes it right is victor to the victor goes the spoils. The majority rules, the majority decides what is right. And so therefore, whoever is the victor or whoever the majority is, whoever decides the majority rule, that is what becomes right, that is what becomes wrong. And so therefore, right and wrong can change from one generation to the next, or from what, you know, whatever. These students all came from Christian homes, supposedly. There was no excuse for them to be ignorant of the moral implications of what that reply was. There was one young person that differed from the rest. He said, "I think Hitler would have been wrong, even if he had won the war and brainwashed everyone into believing he was right." And this one lone student, I say he, it could have been a she, but this one lone student, they could articulate moral absolute. They understood that it doesn't matter who wins the war, who loses the war. It does not change what is right and wrong. Paul says, "See to it that no one takes you captive, that you are not taken prisoner through hollow and deceptive philosophy, through political correctness," which depends on political correctness, "and the basic principles of this world." No, you don't want to do that. You want to base your life. You want to give that reference to them that does not move, not as based on socialism, not based on political correctness, but based on the Word of God, based on where God is at. According to a Gallup poll, 82% of college students today say that they believe in no absolute truths. It really is anything goes out there in our world today. Morality has been reduced to every man for himself. Right and wrong is no longer based on absolutes, but on individual opinion. Ari Nagel, he's a sperm donor. He's also a professor in New York City, and he has fathered 78 children and currently has 13 women pregnant at this time. This is something that I'm talking about morality. I'm talking about where our society is at. He is hailed as a hero. He is hailed as one that is doing something to better people's lives, because these women decide that they want to be pregnant, but they don't want to go through the traditional channels, and so we do these things. Amen. And so this is a society that we live in. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19 said, "The way of the wicked is like deep darkness." Amen. They don't even know what makes them stumble. They don't realize where it's at. Amen. That's our society today. Without a moral compass, without a fixed point of reference, people cannot make rational decisions about what is right and wrong for themselves or for society. We can't decide if an unborn baby is a human being or just a blob of skin cells of tissue, because we have listened to the rhetoric of political correct instead of checking out the medical facts that life begins at conception, and absolute support of Scripture. Amen. And so on, subjects ranging from abortion, amen, to homosexuality, to euthanasia, to human cloning, to sex before marriage. We have become a nation led by what is popular, led by what feels good, led by Hollyweird and the Hollyweird elite. What is being taught in the home of academia, from our value system, amen, it's forming
calling it, amen, rather than moral absolutes that have stood the test of time. How does this happen? I'll tell you how it happens. I've used myself as a testimony to this many times, and I will continue to do so. Amen. Because, amen, this is where we're at. You want to know why so many are falling? Because there were no points of reference put in these children's lives. Amen. Even though there are churches on that are on almost every street corner in our cities and in our towns, amen, there is no teaching going on. Amen. In the home, the television has become the teacher. Amen. The computer and video gaming and cartoons and all of this is what is laying the morality and the fixed point of references for children. And there is none giving by. You want to know why I stand as pastor today in this church? You say, well, it's because God called you. Yes, but there's many that have been called, but few are chosen. Why? Because they don't go the way. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you today, I'm well aware, after preaching full time for 36 years, I know today that there's some of you sitting here this morning that God is dealing with you, and you're feeling convicted right now because you know you have gotten away from your fixed point of references that you had, because desire has drawn you aside. And the Holy Ghost is dealing with you right now. But if you're not careful, you will not heed the voice of God today, and you'll go your own way and make your own decisions, and you will change your points of reference. And today I'm here. I'm here because, not because I'm something special, but because I had solid points of reference, Sister Joanne, put into my life. That when the science teacher, Mr. Hansen, started talking about the theory of evolution as an absolute, it wasn't taught. I'm talking about when I was in school. It wasn't taught as a theory. It was called a theory, but they kind of got, you know, glossed over the word theory. In other words, fairy tale. In other words, we have nothing to prove this, but this is what we believe. And some of you believe it today. You need to get back into the Word of God, because the Word of God has been proven time and time again. But because I had solid, fixed points of references put into my life that you don't veer from this, amen. It didn't matter when I got sent to an atheist school, an agnostic school, amen. We're talking about DuQuoin, Illinois, amen. You say, well, it's not going to happen in our little hamlet. Yes, it is, because it's being taught in all public schools. But when that science teacher started teaching theory as fact, I stood up and I was far from God. I said to him, I said, listen, Mr. Hansen, if God comes back right now, if I was to die today, I would die and go to hell because I'm lost. But I'll be, if I'm going to sit here and listen to you tell me that there is no God. He said, now wait a minute, Danny, you can't be doing this in class. I said, oh yes, I can. I said, well, you can send me to the office, you can do whatever you want. Why was I willing to do that? I'll tell you why I was willing to do it. Because I had solid, fixed points of references that had been put into my life. Amen. And I knew what was up. I knew that God created this world. I knew that there was a God I was going to stand before. And in that class that I sat there, 99% of the children in that class considered themselves Christian. Hear me this morning. We've got to get the Word of God into our children. If you don't have the time to turn off your TV for the sake of your child's salvation, at least invest in some DVDs, into something that teaches them the Word of God, instead of about care bears that are going to be their spirit guides, that's going to guide them here and guide them there. Oh, come on, friend, listen to me right now. Every one of these animations that I'm seeing, especially coming out of Disney, no, coming out of everywhere, every one of them all have this mystic side to them. I can't think of one that doesn't have a mystic side to them. I mean, it's either Grandmother Willow, a tree that's going to talk talk to them, or it's some dragon that's going to talk to them, or it's something that comes up out of the earth that talks. It's something all the time, but it's never God, because it's not politically correct to talk about Jesus Christ. And anytime Jesus is talked about, it's always in a ridiculed way. Anytime a Christian is brought up, they're always made out to be this bigot, to be this bad person. Amen. You say that you know this, see, because you've got fixed points of references in your life that are solid, but they go back to the 50s. They go back traditional family values. You've got to remember that our children are being raised by television, even in our homes. There's no sense in me talking about out there. I'm talking about in your home. If you're not careful, amen, you say, oh, it's just an innocent little movie, it's fine. No, it's not innocent. If you have not taught them, amen, that hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, they are not going to have it. If you don't put in them the need for prayer, the need for the Word of God, if you don't make the Word of God interesting to them, it is your job to make the Word of God interesting to them. You say, well, how in the world am I supposed to do that? You're never going to get it done when in your heart of hearts you think it's boring. You need to pray that God will give you a hunger for His Word. You need to get into the Word of God enough that you realize that this is exciting. That there are some stories in this book that are better than anything Hollywood can ever put out. And you need to put that into your children. There's some good resources out there today. I'll name you one of them, Odyssey. Invest in Odyssey, put out by Focus on the Family. It's a whole lot better for them than the fake Pocahontas, or I'm not going to start naming them all. Put something into them that they have a solid, fixed point of reference. Your kids are not going to learn to pray at church. Hear me right now. Your kids are not going to learn to pray at church. They are going to learn to pray by mom and dad. If mom and dad does not teach them to pray, they will not have that fixed point of reference. If you don't put in your kids the vital need of every day, talking with God, teaching them a lifestyle of going through the day. You don't have to wait until you're in trouble to call on God, but spend every day walking with the Lord, talking with the Lord. This is how you're going to keep those cross currents that are coming against them. Amen. By you instilling them, amen, that fixed point of reference that you're praying continually, that you get your mind on God. Before you take that test at school, say a little prayer right there and pray that God will help you with it. Amen. Whenever you sit down, you don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to make a big scene about it, but bow your head and begin to pray. And pray over your food. Instill in your kids the need of prayer. Put in your kids the Word of God. The way the Word of God is going to get put in them, amen, is that you get the Word of God put in them. Find a way that the Word of God becomes interesting. I'm talking about putting fixed points of references in their life. You know, another one, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together when you see the day approaching. What are we talking about? When God is about ready to take the church home, if there was ever a time you need to be in church, you need to be in church now. Amen. You say, well, the kids have got 3 hours of homework. We couldn't afford to come to church. You can't afford to miss church. There is nothing as important as you being in the house of God. It's one thing for you to take a vacation every once in a while, as you know your pastor does. I believe in him. The Lord Jesus Christ would go away privately for a while to rest. It is essential that you do that. But come on, folks, do you have to do it every other weekend? Somewhere the church has got to become a priority in your life. If it's not a priority in your life, it will not be a priority in your children's life. Amen. It's got to be a priority. We're going to be in the house. You think you're too good to, for, you know, no. No, that's not what being a Christian is. The reason we're in the house of God is because I'm not perfect, because I need to be there. You're going to feel the presence of the Lord in church in ways that you will never feel at home. Don't tell me about the great prayer meetings you have at home if you don't pray at church. Amen. That's like telling me that you're a great football player and you don't have a single other person that you play football with. All you're doing is throwing a football up in the air and catching it. Amen. If you want to be a Christian, you've got to be among Christians. Amen. Because the body of Christ is not one individual. Amen. But the group of individuals come together and they make up the body of Christ. Amen. You've got to be in the house of God. Don't tell me about your love for God. Show me your love for God. That's what James was saying. You all want to talk about your faith. He said, I'm going to show you my faith by what I'm doing. You're going to show your faith by how often you're in the house of God, by how often you're praying, by how often you're talking to the Lord, by how often you're praising God, by how often you're testifying to others about God. Amen. That's where it's at. When Jesus stood before Pilate for questioning in John chapter 18 verse 37, Jesus said, for this reason came I into the world. This is the reason I was born to virgin birth. For this I came into the world, to testify of the truth, or to show the truth. And if you are actually in the truth, you're going to hear my voice. You're going to know. Pilate said, what is truth? That's a good question. It's a question asked by millions today. Where do you go for the right answers? Where do you go to get the bottom line? Is everything really so vague? Isn't there some place you can go for a solid, fixed point of reference to the big things of life? There is. The psalmist said in Psalms 119 and 160, all your words are true, O Lord. All your righteous laws are eternal. In other words, they do not change. God's word does not change for 2021. The postmodern mindset has embraced this philosophy with a vengeance. Amen. German philosopher Martin Heidegger, he said, in naming the things named come into their thinging, and thinging they unfold the world in which things abide, and so are abiding ones. You say, what? Exactly. But that's what's being taught in school. That kind of mumble jumble. In other words, there is no such thing as objective reality. Reality is what each person creates for himself through communication with others. You think that we're just talking to young people here today. We're not. We're talking to grandparents. And folks, I apologize if the Word of God hits you today. But just as it's sin for two 16-year-olds to have sex, it's sin for two 80-year-olds to live together. I don't care that you're going to lose your insurance. Morality does not change. This is the way it is. It is a fixed point of reference. If you can't afford to live, you've got to decide what is most important. Is it most important that I get my flesh taken care of? That I have insurance? That I have money? That this world is... Go ahead, because this world is temporal. This world is going to pass away. Amen. But there is coming a day that you are either going to pass from this life or this life's going to end. Amen. And when you do, you are going to come smack dab in
the face of the author of this world, and he is the one who decided what is right and wrong. He's the one that decided what is true. And when you live outside of those morals, amen, you will be held accountable.
That went over like a lead balloon. I need all of you to sit back down and quit running and shouting. We have thousands of people in our culture who have fixed their point of reference on a moving point, and it's never staying still. I want the musicians to come. And because of that, this is what James is talking about. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A guy that can't make up his mind. A person that does not have fixed points of references that have not moved. They're right there. Whenever you, what is right and wrong for you and what you allow in your life changes, fickled on your feelings and emotions, you will become so lost. Not just in this world, but you are going to become lost in that world. And that's the worst. You got to get your eyes off of the moving stars of Hollywood, of sports, and get your eyes fixed on Him. You can chart the shocking increase in divorce, premarital sex, people living together without marriage, abortion, all these negative social shifts in America. You can chart it coincidingly existing with the decision to remove the Bible and prayer out of public school system. Now, it's not because that was moved, but it was because people decided they didn't like those fixed points of references any longer. And so they removed them from their map and they chose other things to guide their life. It's no longer important. I don't want to use that one anymore. I don't like it. And they begin to follow their own North Star. The result has been devastating. We have a world that doesn't even know who God is anymore. We live in the most self-centered age in our nation's history. I can remember, I'm old enough now, I can remember Friday, Saturday night going to Main Street and every parking space filled up and down Main Street. You all remember that here in DuQuoin Outlet? People would be out shopping, the men would be sitting on their cars and kids playing and running up and down the sidewalks, and that was just the way it was. People sat on the front porch, they talked, they socialized. We moved from that into air conditioning, into the convenience of Walmart, cheaper prices, ghost town. Till now, we moved to the family sitting around the TV. Till now, people sat by themselves with their own screen, nobody involved in their life. It's no longer husband and wife sitting there watching the news or watching a TV show. It's no longer family sitting around watching a movie, eating some popcorn, and then playing some games, some board games. Now, that's gone. Now, each one. You go to a restaurant, you'll see four people sitting there, a husband, wife, two kids.
They won't be talking to each other. They'll be looking down at their phone. Everybody absorbed in their own little world. Taking pictures of their food, for crying out loud. Posting it. People have created professional smiles for selfies. It's not real. And then everybody gets on there and posts about how beautiful they look. And you know good and well. You know good and well that they used apps to smooth out their skin. You see them? You know they don't look that good. They took 50 pounds off their body. They're 3 inches taller and they've got more hair. And then everybody posts about how beautiful they are. You mean how beautiful that fake picture is. This is what we've moved to. We're fake. Somebody, and I know, I realize this is not a popular message. I realized when the Lord started dealing with me about this a few days ago, I realized, I knew what was going to happen. It has caused me to deal with depression the last few days because I knew what we were coming to. But the Holy Ghost said, somebody's got to stand up and talk. We've got to get to the place that we get back to the original fixed points of reference. They have not moved. God has not. You wonder where God's went? God didn't move. The problem is you've got so far out to sea, you've lost your fixed point of reference. You need to get back to where you can see Him. You need to get God back. You need to get His Word back. You need to get back to that place, amen, in the Lord where you belong, amen. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what this world is all about. He wants to take down your marriage. He wants to destroy your kids. He wants to destroy your life, amen. But Jesus said that I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God help us. It has not changed in this fixed point of reference. If you do not get back to it in your life, or if you don't find it in your life, you are going to be tossed to and fro until you finally go under. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. This Josh McDowell, George Barna, they did a research and they found that 56% of evangelical Christian young people say it's possible to get to heaven without a relationship with Jesus Christ. 56%. Church, we've got to take this serious. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, it's time you start living as a fixed point of reference for your kids. Instead of living with the philosophy, I do what I want to do, this is my life, it's not your life, it is their life. You've got to get fixed. Don't move. You do it because it's the right thing to do. You may not want to do it, but you do it anyway. You teach them to dress modestly. Why? They're going to stand up. I can't worry about what everybody else is doing. Somebody showed me a picture on Facebook of their friend's daughter who was like, she looked like she's 8 or 9 years old, standing there in this seductive pose in a bikini, and she said, the mom thought she was beautiful.
folks. Where, if the Lord tarries, are our kids going to end up? Instead of putting into your daughter that how she looks sexually is where she gets her beauty, why don't you put into her how she gets her beauty is her disposition, her walk with God, that radiant glow of the Holy Ghost. I got quit. But you remember this. There are points of references that have not moved, and you need to find them. They are not movable. They are not transferable. They do not move. God is right where you left Him. I'd like every head to bow and every eye to close right now. Sister Ashley, if you would help with Emma. We're going to have Emma get ready to be baptized, but as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, I say to you parents today, not just John and Tamara, not just Nathan and Ashley, but all of us today, be faithful so that your kids, whenever life throws them a curveball, they know what right and wrong is because they've watched mom and dad and grandma and grandpa live by it. God in heaven, this has been a very different service today, for Sunday morning. It's been sobering, but it still takes the same thing. When Nicodemus came to you, you didn't tell him, well, today this is how you get to heaven and tomorrow it might be different, but it's the same. I pray, dear God, that you would help us to live that life that is clear, concise, and true before our children. In the name of Jesus, let your will be done, dear God, in our lives. You know, I'd maybe like to live in a mansion, maybe like to have $1 gazillion, but Lord, you know what's best. Not my will, thy will be done. That I'm in a church that preaches the truth is more important than I'm in a place that is a concert hall and has professional music. I pray, God, that we find your way and that we walk in it. That we don't lose sight of what's important. In the name of Jesus, let your will be done. We're going to baptize Emma this morning. She expressed a desire to me to be baptized, and I'm excited about that. The devil will shut down Hollywood. He'll shut down all sports arenas and everything if he can shut the church down as well. If he can get enough people to be scared to not go to church, he'll shut every one of those venues down just to keep them out. People said, well, the church isn't the only one being attacked right now. You know, they've shut all this down too. Yeah, you're right. Devil's already got them. He's coming after you and your kids. Help us, Lord.
You remember, you're going to have to make up your mind you're going to live for God in 2021. And if it's right, I'm going to do it whether I want to or not, no matter what the Word says. I'm going to tell you, salvation has not changed. Nicodemus came to Jesus. He didn't come to just somebody on the street. He came to Jesus. Nicodemus was a head in the church. He was what would be called a deacon today. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and he said, "What's it going to take to make it to heaven?" And Jesus said, "You must be born again." He said, "How can I be born again when I'm old? Am I going to enter the second time into my mother's womb?" Jesus said, "Except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he's not going to heaven." You know, I appreciate people getting out there and testifying and witnessing so that people will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But it takes more than just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 16:16 said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Paul in Acts chapter 19, when he passed through the upper coast, coming to John the Baptist's disciples who were having a church service, he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They said, "We've not heard anything about the Holy Ghost." He said, "Hold on a minute, how were you baptized?" They said, "We were baptized under John the Baptist's baptism." He began to preach to them baptism in the name of Jesus, and that whole church was rebaptized in the name of Jesus and received the gift of the Holy Ghost by the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Nowhere in Scripture did anyone ever receive the Holy Ghost any other way. In Acts chapter 2, when they came to the men and brethren there that had just received the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost being poured out, Peter began to preach to them and he began to talk to them about, "This is what you've heard about your whole life. This is what Joel prophesied about, that in the last days, God is going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh." He talked to them about David and how David said that this is coming. And he says to them, he says, "Jesus that you guys just crucified, He is the Lord in Christ." Now what he was saying is, and this is what people don't understand, there is no such thing as three gods. There is only one God. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." There is only one God. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one through Scripture all the way. Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 came into the throne room of God. There was one throne. There was one God that sat upon the throne. In Revelations, whenever John comes to the throne, the same throne after Jesus is born, died, risen, and gone into heaven, there's still just one throne because there's only one God. That one God fills the office of the Holy Ghost. It's just His Spirit. The Bible says that God is a Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 1 verse 1 it said, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." And in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And people didn't even know that it was Him. That's what John's whole premise of what he's saying. And so the Jews did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They didn't believe that He was the Christ. Us here in the United States, you ask anybody what was the last name of Jesus, so many times they'll tell you Christ. Christ was not His last name. Christ is a title. Christ means God manifest in the flesh. It means the Messiah came here. Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with us. That's Christ. Reconciling the world unto Himself. Bringing the world. Making a way, because there was no way for man to be saved. And so He made a way. God made a way. God robed Himself in flesh. And Peter in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, they had asked in 36-37, they had asked, they said, "Oh no," whenever Peter told them that, "You crucified God. You crucified the Messiah that you've been waiting for." And they said, "Men and brethren, what should we do?" And in verse 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, to have your sins washed away. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Why is being baptized in Jesus' name so important? You say, why did he say in Matthew 28:19, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel? If there are any that believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because he was doing just what I'm talking about. The Jews refused to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He said, you go and preach this. What? That I'm the Messiah. Jesus was telling his disciples, go teach them that I'm the Messiah. The Messiah has come. If there's any that believe, you baptize them in what's the name of the Messiah? He said, I've come in my Father's name. He said, that's what you're going to do. So what is the name of the Father? It's Jesus. What is the name of the Son? It's Jesus. What is the name of the Holy Ghost? It's Jesus. So when you're baptized in Jesus' name, you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And until you've been baptized in the name of Jesus, your sins have not been washed away. It would not have been well for me to preach a message today and then go baptize this young lady and not explain to you what we're doing. It is essential. She's not being baptized in Jesus' name to become a member of this church. She's being baptized in Jesus' name to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, to have her sins washed away. So with that said, I would like for us to sing a course of worship. Hopefully that they're ready up there. Amen. And I want you to rejoice. If you've not been baptized and you want to be baptized, I'd be more than happy to baptize you as well. But let's sing a course of worship as I get ready to go baptize you.